Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I got to admit, I don't like reading. I fall asleep when I read. It's a terrible problem. But then they came out with books on tape and I was alive. I could drive and I could listen to these guys and these ladies talk about business. And it was fantastic. And I'm a radio guy, so I like to listen to the radio. But are you like me that you don't like to read? But the question is, what was your first business book? Your first thought leadership book? Believe it or not, mine was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And I don't think I ever finished the book, but I remember realizing at that time of my life, it was like 30 years ago. This was like a big deal. And I just found out the book is in its 30th year and it sold 30 million copies. It's in every language. I am telling you, I was an early adopter of thought leadership 30 years ago when it maybe wasn't so popular. I don't know. I was only about 29 years old, but I picked this book up because I thought, yeah, I want to be more effective. I want to be successful. I want to be a thought leader. I want to be one of these guys. And then I started my business and I should have kept on reading, but I didn't. Oh my gosh. That cost me a decade of my life, people, a decade, because I made so many mistakes that I wouldn't have had to have made had I just continued reading. So guess what? I've got a guy on the phone today. His name is Scott Jeffrey Miller. He is the Executive Vice President of Thought Leadership at Franklin Covey and author of a brand new book, Management Mess. First of all, I love this. I love this. But is that a weird story to hear, Scott, that I actually bought this book many, many years ago and I never finished reading it? Now I got to go back and finish it. What do you think?
Alan, I don't think you're alone. I think most people read about the first half of all leadership books because they're usually too long.
Well, and you know what? I think what happened too is that life was happening all around me. 30 years ago, I had a brand new marriage. I had a brand new baby. I had a brand new business that was just sucking every bit of my life away. And what happened was that I was so tired and I'd sit down and I'd start to read and I'd fall asleep. And I remember I was so interested in this. And when I met somebody here recently that used to work for the Franklin Covey company, I remember going, oh my gosh, that's so cool. But now I've got to go back and I got to finish reading that book. But more importantly, talk about Management Mess. I mean, you're on a book tour right now. This is a brand new book coming out of Franklin Covey right now. Talk about it.
It's right. So I've been in the firm for 23 years. Stephen Covey raised me. I've been the chief marketing officer for the last decade. And about a year ago, I stepped away from the day-to-day management role and decided that I wanted to write a leadership book that was different than the usual academic books written by professors about mission, vision, and values. That's important. But I wanted to write a really relatable book, that leadership is hard. It's not for everyone. In fact, most of my leadership attempts have been messes. The book is Management Mess to Leadership Success.
Right.
So I collected 30 challenges that every leader faces in life, and I wrote a story about how I made a mess out of most of them in the hope that people who are like me, whose careers are kind of one step forward, two steps back, they can relate to, you know, supposedly a leadership expert, that's me, you know, talking about some of our foibles. I think vulnerable leaders make the best leaders.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I remember reading about 10 years ago in like the Wall Street Journal or something that when somebody's going to, you know, find a good employee these days, a prerequisite is failure in business. They're like, if you haven't failed, then you don't know what it's like to fail. And I don't want to fail with you. Let's find somebody that has failed. And as working with Entrepreneur Magazine now and the brand for many years, I've learned that fail and fail fast, because the faster you fail, the faster you can recover and not make that mistake again. But Management Mess to Leadership Success, and that really is the rest of the name of the book. But I think it's funny that this is the name of this book because it resonates with so many people, because so many of us have a management mess going on in our lives and our businesses, and we're like, what do we got to do about this? So this, I think, will resonate with a lot. Let me just take a break here. We'll come back and talk with you. Maybe, just maybe, you can give us some of the 30 challenges on this show and talk about what you've learned along the way. We'll take a little break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly and management mess to leadership success. We're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. Stay with us. What you do to me when you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. You know, we've all made mistakes, and some of us continue to. And had I read the rest of the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, I may have been more effective. But you know what? Life happened. I had a brand new baby. I made up a lot of excuses like I'm doing right now, and I never finished reading the book. So obviously, I wasn't very effective, because by 1995, I was out of business, and I had to start all the way over. And you know what? That was what I needed. That was the learning I needed, because nobody could tell me, because I was so prideful. This is a thing entrepreneurs have. Huge egos, huge prides. And the only one that can take us down is the man in the mirror, if you know what I'm saying. Scott Jeffrey Miller joining us, Executive Vice President of Thought Leadership at Franklin Covey, and author of Management Mess to Leadership Success, 30 Challenges to Become the Leader You Would Follow. Whew. Like I said, had I finished reading the book, Scott, I probably would have been a different guy. But you know what? I needed that. I really, really did. I was very, very successful as a young man. And what happens is, as they say, you know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I was just an arrogant punk. And I look back and, you know, I see my son-in-law. My daughter married me. She married her dad. This guy's just like me. He's a great kid. I love him to death, but he's got some learning to do, because he thinks he's cool and he thinks he knows. And, you know, that's what we all do when we're 25, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, until one day we come face to face with the man in the mirror and he punches us clean in the nose. You know? Anyway, so maybe we could talk a little bit about what is in this book, and how much of it, obviously, it looks like it comes from Franklin Covey's teaching, right?
It does. In fact, you know, I've been in the firm for 23 years, so I'm heavily steeped in a lot of these leadership principles that we teach our clients. But I wanted to take a different tack. I wanted to write a book, like I mentioned, that was for those people who maybe kind of stumbled into leadership. They're the accidental leader. They were lured in, didn't come in eyes wide open, because leadership's not for everyone.
Right.
So this book is funny. It's raw. It's vulnerable. It's blush worthy. I just kind of let it all out there. My wife's convinced I'll never work again, because the book kind of shares a lot of my problems. But I wanted to be abundant. I wanted to make it safe for people. Everybody's got a mess. And you know what? Everybody knows what your mess is. The receptionist, the CEO, HR, your wife. So why not just own them, acknowledge them, make it safe to talk about it, and move to success?
I totally agree. I mean, listen, I'm doing that right here. I mean, when I go on this radio show, I am the listener. I've got to be vulnerable. I've got to be imperfect the way we all are, because I don't care who you are. The only perfect dude ain't here. He's coming back, but he ain't here anymore. I mean, he's only in our hearts. So none of us are perfect. We all are flawed individuals. And I'm glad to hear that. I've not gotten this book. I want to get a copy of it. Please send it. And I want to read it. I want to have you back on, and I want to learn. But let me ask you, what are some of the things that, you know, make your wife kind of go, oh, my God, you didn't tell that story?
Well, there's lots of them. You know, there were 150 challenges originally, and I, you know, didn't want to write a book that people would want to, you know, take their life over, 150 challenges. So I culled it down to 30 with some smart people. You know, challenge 21, allow others to be smart. I think that too often leaders, when they get promoted, they think they're supposed to have all the answers, be the smartest person in the room, be the genius, when in fact, they need to be the genius maker. They don't have to have all the answers. Your job as a leader is to recruit and retain quality talent. That's your first job amongst many. Is, are you humble enough? Are you confident enough? not to be the smartest person. You know, I was the chief marketing officer for 10 years. I was not the smartest person on SEO. I was not the smartest person on social media or marketing automation. I tried to be the first 4 or 5 years, and as I became more comfortable and confident in what my contribution was, I was finally mature enough to invite in higher-end people who were absolutely more confident than me. If you would have said in my 20s and 30s, could I do that? There was no way I had the maturity, the emotional intelligence to hire people in that were smarter than me. I hired in people that would be loyal to me, that would execute on my ideas. I wasn't secure enough to hire people smarter. So right. Challenge 21, allow others to be smart.
All right, I love this. Let's go through a few other ones in the next segment. This is what we need. We need constant reminders. I woke up this morning at about 4 o'clock in the morning thinking, gosh, what did that guy say? I remember it was so good, I didn't write it down. Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top says, I always have a pad on me. The best advice I can give you, he says, keep a pad of paper next to your bed. Your best ideas come in the middle of the night. Write them down. We'll take a break. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Yes, I drive a Dodge Demon, 840 horsepower. I don't take it lightly. I love horsepower. I drive it the way you would think I should drive it, too. The way I do my radio show. Scott Jeffrey Miller joining us from Franklin Covey, the book Management Mess to Leadership Success. He is also the executive vice president of Franklin Covey, but he authored this book. And thank you for being with us, Scott.
Alan, forget the book. I got to tell you, I host a radio program here in Salt Lake City called Great Life, Great Career. When I walk into the studio each week to interview a guest, I tend to lose my personality at the door. I kind of calm down. I take it slower. And you are like crazy contagious. I love your energy, your insight, your personality. You've given me permission to be me on the air. I hope that your sponsors, your listeners, your station manager appreciates your energy. Man, you are the model. I love this.
That's fun. And I just turned 59 years old about 4 days ago. I do not ever want to grow old. I don't want to be unauthentic. I am authentically who I am. And you know what? I embarrass myself all the time. And I have to go, you know what? I apologize for saying that. And I laugh. And the person goes, I can't believe you said that. But you know what? Listen, we're having fun. Business is supposed to be fun. And if we do it right and we listen to the sage advice of people like yourself and the Franklin Covey companies of the world, of which I thought Franklin Covey was a man, and I found out that it's Stephen Covey. I thought maybe Franklin was his father. But do me a favor. Give me 30 seconds on that. It's confusing.
Yeah, so Stephen Covey, as you mentioned, is the author of the book, The 7 Habits. He developed a company called the Covey Leadership Center. And his chief competitor was the Franklin Quest Company, the inventors of, back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, of the wildly successful Franklin Planner, the time management tool.
Right.
They merged together, and the name Franklin Quest actually came from Ben Franklin, because he was, you know, a really wise planner. So Franklin Quest and the Covey Leadership Center came together and formed the Franklin Covey Company, which is now, in my opinion, the world's most reputable leadership development firm.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Okay. FranklinCovey.com is where you can find this book, Management Mess to Leadership Success. It's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all those places, too, but check that out. All right. Do me a favor. That last one you gave was fantastic. Give me some more of these challenges that you have. You have 30 in the book, but we're going to bounce off. You gave 21. What's the next one?
Yeah. So how about 12? Challenge 12 is lead difficult conversations. And I'm actually quite decent at this. This isn't a mess for me. But Alan, like you know, all of our strengths, when played too far, can become weaknesses. So my problem is I have no challenge leading high courage conversations. I just do it without much consideration for the other person. I can like mow them over and damage their self-esteem. So leading difficult conversations, it is incumbent on every leader. You got to move outside your comfort zone. discuss the undiscussables. It might be about somebody's productivity, might be about their skills or time management, might be about their collaboration with others or their personal hygiene. Honestly, as a leader, you owe it to your people. Close the door, come out from behind your desk, sit down with them, declare your intent. Say, listen, I have your best interest in mind. You've got a blind spot, and I want to help you work on it. And then that will be your legacy. You will give a gift to your people if you can talk about the undiscussables that the coward leader before you always avoided, and the person never really understood what was tripping them up.
Whew.
Here's another one.
No, hold it. I got to say, we should stick on that one for a moment, because that is such a huge thing. Everyone we know has this problem in front of them. Somebody should talk to that person. Somebody should tell that person they're being a jerk, or they have BO, or they have halitosis, whatever it is. You know, I remember one of my nephews, the guy has BO. It's like he comes into my house and my whole house smells for a week like a skunk was in there.
Yeah.
So I finally told him, I said, Come here, young man. You know, he's kind of this hippie guy, and he loves it, and he's like all the Indian dancing and all that. And I get it. He's El Natural, if you know what I'm saying. So I brought him in here, and I go, come here. Come in my bathroom with me. I said, I'm going to give you one of these. This is my favorite deodorant. This is not antiperspirant, because some people don't believe in that, because it's got all kinds. This is just perfume, in essence, for men. Please, when you come to my house, will you please wear some of this, even if you only do it at my house, because you stink it up. And I start laughing, and I go, just do me a favor. Wear this when you go. And he laughed. You know what? He gave me a hug, and I said, man, you really stink. But he gave me a hug, and he said, thank you. He says, you know, I don't notice it. But I got to tell you, having those hard conversations with somebody, and that obviously is a very kind of a funny one, but in a workplace, you know, you're there, and it gets very uncomfortable. So what I heard in you, though, is to have grace in that conversation. And that in itself, and let me tell you what I learned about having grace. It starts from the very beginning of the conversation. I went to a mastermind, and a friend of mine, he says, I'm going to get up and speak next, and I want you to listen. And I said, okay, I'm going to be in the audience. So I was standing in the audience, and it was a guy that worked at Microsoft, believe it or not. And then I thought to myself, you know, I'm doing some work with him. And hell yes, I'm going to be standing there no matter how boring it's going to be. I thought I was going to be boring. Anyway, so he gets up there, and he says, I've got something very difficult to talk about with you guys, and I believe that you will all feel very uncomfortable. And I was like, whoa, do you know that just by doing that and by saying that, it changed everything in the conversation from that point forward, because everyone in the audience was ready to hear something powerful and interesting, and they were ready to hear something possibly disturbing. Let me take another break. Scott Jeffrey Miller with us, Executive Vice President of Leadership at the Franklin Covey Company. The book, Management Mess to Leadership Success. I'm giving you extra time. We got to talk about more of this good stuff. 30 challenges to become the leader you would follow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
I'm talking to a guy named Scott Jeffrey Miller from the Franklin Covey Company, and his book, I should say the book that is belongs to the Franklin Covey Company that he authored. See, I got that right, Scott. Management Mess to Leadership Success, 30 Challenges to Become the Leader You Would Follow. And I will say that people want to follow a man or a woman with a good heart. And so that is the first prerequisite to being a leader, is to have a centered, good heart towards other human beings. But anyway, that's not about me. It's about you. I want to get back to, he's given us some of these 30 challenges. What next, Scott?
Alan, can you believe the book debuted on Amazon this week? Number one new release. It sold out. Amazon had to reorder it 3 times.
Fantastic.
Sold out again. And now they've got a great supply. I think it's because these challenges everybody is facing right now. Here's what I'll share. Challenge 16 of the 30, we call it Make It Safe to Tell the Truth. And this is because feedback, as you know, is the solution, or at least the best solution, to your self-awareness, to conquering your blind spots. We all have blind spots. We're not as fast, as smart, as intelligent, as creative, as collaborative, as kind as we portray ourselves to be. If you're a leader, you've got to have feedback loops in place. What's it like to work for you? What's it like to be in a meeting, in a project, on a trip to see a client? What's it like to be in a relationship with you? So you need to make sure you've got feedback loops. The problem is no one ever tells the boss the truth. When the CEO comes off at the sales conference and says, hey, how was my two-hour speech? Everybody says, oh, boss, it was amazing. Slide 410. That was the best of the whole deck. That's insane. Everybody's texting each other saying, this sucks. You've got to create conditions where people who report to you, who in some cases are revered or even fear you, you got to make it safe for them to tell you the truth. And that's the leader's responsibility. Do not think just because you asked for feedback that you're getting the truth. I mean, who is going to create a career cul-de-sac for themselves and tell their boss that they were bad in the client meeting? Of course not. You suck up to the boss typically because she or he hasn't made it safe. If you want to build your skills, build your self-awareness, and move from mess to success, create the conditions for people to tell you the truth. Now, not all feedback is helpful. You can have too much feedback, and some feedback isn't about you. It might be about their uncle or their ex-husband or their ex-boss. So you'll learn to be more deliberate around how you accept it. When they give you feedback, don't refute it. Don't defend yourself. Just write it down. You can ask some clarifying questions, what was happening at that meeting or what was I doing, but don't ambush the person. And then decide, are you going to adopt that in your life or do you choose to let it go? But making it safe for others to tell you their truth is absolutely a leadership mess for most leaders. The higher up you are in the organization, the more you are lied to.
So what you're saying is that I should not have punched that one guy that gave me some bad reviews in the neck, right?
Well, no one else will ever tell you the truth because they'll get punched also.
Right? Yeah, right.
You made it dangerous to tell the truth.
Okay, so along this theme, number 16, make it safe to get feedback. I am about to have a company meeting, and I have a relatively small company. I work alongside Entrepreneur Media. I don't have to go to New York where they are. Once or twice, three times a year, I go to a meeting or something. But in my media side of the company, the radio and video side, I've got 10, 12 people working for me. When we have a meeting, what do I do? Do I say, hey, all right, guys, it's okay to pee on the boss? What do I say? How do I start that one out? You know?
In terms of asking for feedback in the meeting?
Well, in order to let them know that I'm not going to punch them in the neck, because I'm usually a neck puncher, you know?
Right. You know what I probably would do is I probably would approach people individually, because people will tend to be leery. I would probably ask people, hey, I'd like you to take some notes on what it's like to have me in the meeting next week. Just kind of how much do I talk? Do I allow other people to speak? Is my idea always the best idea? Do I have to win all the time? Do I have to be the genius? Is it safe for others to share ideas? Ask people, maybe take some notes, maybe one person, and then take it offline. I'm not sure I would announce in the meeting, hey, give me some feedback, because people have to know that it's comfortable and safe, and some people will let other people take the risk or be the early adopter. So I would probably recommend a team meeting isn't the right place for that. Pick one or two people that you generally trust that have your best interest in mind, and ask them to be a little more thoughtful about watching you, listening to you, and then debrief with them.
See, that's good advice, because I pictured myself like I drag a big gunny sack full of, you know, 1 pound rocks up into my office, and I tell all my employees, all right, everybody pick up a rock. It's time to stone the boss. So it really is not a good idea, because they all would. I'm telling you, they'd heave them at me hard.
Yeah, you know? I'm not loving that.
Okay, so one at a time, pick the ones that you trust. Whew, because I was always worried about that one. That's actually very good advice. All right, you know what? I got to tell you, this is good stuff. And this is, I believe, the kind – no wonder you're selling out at Amazon. This is the kind of stuff that we need. When you said – and I asked you before, and I noticed you kind of skirted the question. Which one of these things made your wife grimace when you wrote about it? What did you do that was like where you kind of outed yourself a little bit, like I did, saying, hey, man, I went out of business back in 95 because I was an arrogant punk kid. What did you do, Scott?
You know, I think the one that I'm the worst at is listen first. I think it's challenge 3. I was on a local ABC affiliate here 2 weeks ago doing a kind of a, you know, noon lunch interview, 4 or 5 minutes. And I walked off the set with my assistant and I said, hey, Drew, how did I do? because I like to make it safe for him to tell me the truth.
Right.
And he said, I'm not kidding you, Alan. He said to me, this is a 23-year-old MacGyver-type young guy. He said, well, you were great until you interrupted the host to remind her about listening, which was hysterical.
What? So oh, man.
I know. But you know what? I've made it safe for Drew to tell me the truth, so I'm more mindful about not interrupting.
Wow.
I think my wife, since you're asking the question, I am generally a poor listener. Like most leaders, we've spent most of our careers being trained to speak, persuade, influence, clarify the message, master the stage, share the vision, repeat the vision, repeat it again. And so we've been taught to talk a lot, solve the problems, have the answers, when in fact, listening is a leadership communication skill. Empathic listeners get off of their own agenda and get into the minds and the hearts of their other people. Stop interrupting, slow down, listen more.
I'm going to interrupt you right now and take another break and ask you to stay another segment with us. This is good shiznit.
Wow.
Yes.
Awesome.
By the way, I didn't say what you think I said. I said shiznit. All right. We're going to take a break. We're listening to Scott Jeffrey Miller, Management Mess to Leadership Success, 30 Challenges to Become the Leader You Would Follow. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Remember Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Well, evidently, Scott Jeffrey Miller, Executive Vice President of Franklin Covey, the company, is on the phone with us right now, and he authored a book for that company, Management Mess to Leadership Success, and he obviously is a great student of Stephen Covey, and all I can say is that I probably would have been working side by side with you, and I finished reading the book! What a schmuck I am. God, a decade of my life is gone because I put the book down and for some reason life happened, you know? But anyway, you got to stay focused when you do these things, really. If you're going to do something that's worth doing it, do it complete, finish it. And I only learned that because I'm an idiot that didn't. And it took me years and years. And I love all these challenges we've walked through. So far we've gotten, and I know you're bouncing around, number 21, number 12, number 16, number 3. What other one is important to you that you think will have some impact for the entrepreneur world out there? What do you think?
You know, Alan, one of the insights that Dr. Covey evangelized on his 70 or 80 years on the planet was this idea about relationships. And one of these challenges is called make time for relationships. Dr. Covey gave me lots of feedback in my life. And one of them was I need to slow down. Now, I'm a fast talker, not in terms of, you know, flim-flam artist, but, you know, my brain's going 90 miles an hour like yours
is. Sure.
And I'm an efficient person. I'm a productive person. I like lists. I like checking things off. But when it comes to relationships at home, in the office, I mean, think about it. Most of us spend more time in the office with our colleagues than we do awake with our family, at least in our professional years. So you might as well build strong relationships. And you can either have, like I do, what Dr. Covey calls an efficiency mindset, or you can have an effectiveness mindset. An efficiency mindset works fine when you're at, you know, Costco, load up the groceries, or you're working on systems or processes. But with people, you need to have an effectiveness mindset. You cannot rush relationships. We need to slow down. To quote Stephen Covey, one of his many famous quotes was, with people, fast is slow, and slow is fast. So one of these challenges is, are you effectively dealing with your colleagues? Do you slow down? Do you take time to understand what their passions are, what their needs are. Because all of them are being recruited. All of them are being poached every day by an endless stream of headhunters, especially your most talented ones. And when they come back to you and say, hey, I'm being poached, you want to match the offer? Now you're only buying their wallet. You're not buying their heart. Hmm. So great leaders slow down with people. They take time. They listen. And they really understand there's a time to be efficient and there's a time to be effective, because relationships are everything in life. That's what your legacy is. That's where you go home with your family. And your people, as you know, they don't quit their jobs. To quote Gallup, they quit their boss. And often they quit their culture. So if you want to build a unique culture with a competitive group of people that can't be poached or replicated, you'll take time for relationships.
Interesting.
Can I share one more?
I would love it. And you have plenty of time, so don't be trying to push me here. Otherwise, I'm going to have to punch you in the neck. So, but I want to add to that, because to me, you know, like you said, people, they quit their boss, they quit their culture, and the money thing isn't as valuable to them as the relationship currency, which is a more valuable currency. Can I say that?
Relationships are absolutely a currency. In fact, you'd argue it's the most precious currency in the entire marketplace is, you know, are you able to build your reputation with people in a way that they will recommend you, that they'll hire you, that they'll sponsor you, that they'll buy your book or invite you on their program?
Right. You know, it's interesting. I try to teach that to my kids. My oldest is now 31, and my youngest is going to be 20. My youngest is buying a house this week, and he's been working real hard. And, you know, when he gets in a fight with his boss or the people he works with, I always tell him, I say, listen, do not burn that bridge. Do not burn that bridge. Find another way than to raise the middle finger and walk away. That's the easy way out. Anybody can do that. But can you find grace in the situation? Look at what you may have been doing that was irritating or aggravating. Whether it was, you know, I was with a friend the other day and he says to me, you pick on me too much. And, you know, and he said it while we were kind of having fun and jabbing at each other, but I heard it. So I sent him an apology saying, your comment did not fall on deaf ears, because when people are joking around, that's kind of sometimes when the truth comes out. Is, you know what they say, in every joke, half of it is the truth, or there's a little bit of truth anyway. But the point is that listen to what people say. Don't just raise the finger and walk away. Find out, even if you want to quit, always quit with the most honor and integrity, because guess what? Maybe those people will reconsider and say, you know what? I made the mistake. He was the guy or she was the gal that we should have kept. And they can reconsider if you have grace on your way out the door. We'll take another break, give you some more time. This is good stuff. Management Mess to Leadership Success. Scott Jeffrey Miller, Executive Vice President, Franklin Covey Company. FranklinCovey.com. You can find out more about him. I'm Alan Taylor. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Had no worries. Staying single was the plan, didn't need to stay.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Scott Jeffrey Miller joining us. He's the author of the book, Management Mess to Leadership Success. You can find it on Amazon. They've sold out and sold out and sold out, and now they have a ton of them. So you can go buy your book there, or Barnes & Noble, or wherever they're going to sell these kind of books. Number one on Amazon. Congratulations, Scott. It's a big deal.
Thank you, Alan.
It's a big deal. So let me ask you something. What's the biggest mistake you ever made in your life? Ooh, live. Didn't even set that one up for you. Ooh.
Oh, my goodness. I wrote a book about 30 of them. You know, I've not made any monumental mistakes. I've been the beneficiary of a lot of good, wise, old people that have shepherded me along. I've been fortunate to have a pretty good run. I think it is how I treat people. I think sometimes my courage and even my charisma overshadows people, and I minimize people, not intentionally. So I am trying to make sure that I, to prove your earlier point, don't ever burn any bridges.
Yeah.
Have your son listen to you more often. I think my biggest mistakes are when I didn't treat people with respect.
Yeah. That's a big one. See, I was at a mastermind event with my friend Scott Duffy just over the weekend, and I realized that I was pushing people off with my bigness. Can I say that? You know, because, I mean, we're radio. You and I both are radio personalities. By the way, I heard what you said. Scott also has a podcast, Great Life, Great Career. See, I wrote it down when you said it. And
thank you. Mine's on iHeartRadio. It's a good group.
Beautiful. So go to iHeart and look for Great Life, Great Career, Scott Jeffrey Miller. I'm sure he'll be talking about his book far more than you want to hear, but I'm joking. I'm giving you a hard time. I would love to be on your show sometime. Because, listen, here's the deal. We are big personality people by accident. It didn't, in other words, you know, I didn't go out and buy these personalities and put them on like a new suit. It's just happened in our lives because of something called confidence. The more confident you are, the more fearless you are to just move ahead and enjoy life. And a lot of times, there are people in this world that, you know, it rubs wrong. And so I apologize to the whole group. I said, I'm sorry if I have pushed you off with my personality. I said, I think I do it as a protection mechanism to put the other person on guard. You know what I mean? So that's my flaw that I'm looking at. And I said to my wife yesterday, I said, I apologize to my friend Randy. I had to, because I think I picked on him too much thinking it was fun. All right, do me a favor. Give me one last of these 30 challenges to become the leader you would follow, from management mess to leadership success.
I'd say challenge 4, and we call it declare your intent. I think too often we just assume that other people know what our agenda is or what we're trying to accomplish. And when there's a vacuum there, people will make up their own idea of what your agenda is. You know, absent facts, people make stuff up. So influential leaders, Alan, who move from mess to success, don't leave room for interpretation. You know, one of my friends who's passed now, Blaine Lee, said something that was prophetic. He said, nearly all, if not all, conflict in life comes from mismatched or unfulfilled expectations. And I think that's so true. As a leader, as a spouse, as a son-in-law, as a cousin, whether it's the Thanksgiving dinner or the annual family reunion, or you're coming together with your team members, take the time to declare your intent. In fact, use those words. Say, I want everyone to know that my intent is to make this radio program the most popular in the nation. And I hope that my personality, my boldness, my charismatic personality won't ever make you feel minimized, because my job, my intent is not to minimize you. My job is to build everybody up and make this successful. That may be the wrong example, but you get the point.
I get the point.
Don't leave things open for interpretation. In fact, in a high-stakes meeting, in a high-courage conversation, you might say to someone, Alan, I can see a great career here for you in our organization, and I see some behaviors that you're exhibiting that are getting in the way of you being successful. And if they continue, I'm going to have to ask you to leave the organization. Alan,
Woo!
You're going to lose your job if you don't change.
I
now,
love that.
Now, listen, that takes some practice. That doesn't happen overnight. But what you've done is you've declared your intent to Alan. You've said, Alan, I can see a great career here for you, but you've got to do these things. That way the person can't say, he's got a target on my back. No, I was very clear. My intent was to keep you here, but some stuff's got to change immediately or you're out.
I got to tell you.
It does take a little bit of courage.
I love it. I love it. And the other day in the mastermind, they asked me to come up and speak. You know what I said? All of you people got to stop using the F word the way you are. It's just dirt from the bottom of the barrel. Find higher thinking, better ways of expressing yourself, like Scott Jeffrey Miller just did. Check out his book, Management Mess to Leadership Success, at franklincovey.com or go to Amazon or Barnes & Nobles. Thank you so much, Scott. You did a great job.
Thank you, Alan. Alan, you've inspired me. Thanks so much, sir.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right, guys. I'm going to ramble on right now because that's the end of the show. See you next week.
This program is copyrighted. Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.